If you like stuff, then check out the Am I Stuff podcast with Mr. Kelsey Hudgens.
He's a fella.
Right from the Scuba Whiskey Studios.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios, indeed. Hey, guys, how you living? Good, glad to hear that. SKREWBallWhiskey.com. Screwball Whiskey, tomorrow's stories begin right here. Love our beautiful sponsors of Screwball Whiskey. They have invaded liquor stores, local liquor stores all over the country, bars everywhere. Please go to your local liquor store, go to your local bar, ask them for a shot of Screwball Whiskey. If they say no, punch that person in the mouth, and then don't do that. I don't want to lose my sponsorship. I love you guys at Screwball. Please don't drop me. Yes, go to anywhere where alcohol is available and ask for Screwball Whiskey if that is your thing. It's ironic that I don't drink and my only sponsor is a whiskey. But we are alive during the greatest era of the history of the world. I don't care who disagrees with that. This is just simply true, I believe. In this episode, Cameron Nesbitt stopped by to talk about all sorts of things. We didn't have any sort of... we didn't have any outline or anything like that. And the beginning of the episode, if you watched on video, was very haphazard. I was not quite set up how I should have been. So I took a little bit longer in getting into it than I should have. But I think we had a pretty good conversation and got some great content for you guys. We talked about music and brains and all sorts of movies and comedy and all kinds of good shit. I'm not going to give you guys any content spoilers. I'm going to go ahead and let you get to it. But please do that. And just in case you don't hear this at the end of the episode, please go to www.perlinoband.com and check out all of the dates that Perlino Band, Cameron and Gentry have there, and also at Perlino Band on Instagram, and be sure to drop a follow on that. Also, please go to MIStuffPodcast.com and check out the website over there that I worked really hard on and a few weeks ago and then haven't touched since. So forgive me, I'm not updating this stuff as regularly, but go to MIStuffPodcast.com. And the ones that I do update regularly are the YouTube channel, Kelsey Hudgens on YouTube. Please click subscribe there. Also, if you guys want to keep up with me regularly, the things that I use the most are my personal accounts at Yonder Wizard, WIZZERD on Instagram, at Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter and Facebook. And if you guys want to follow the podcast on social media, at MI Stuff Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So there's all that. Please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, anywhere podcasts are available. Subscribe to My Stuff Podcast and drop a rate and review on there if you wouldn't mind. That would really, really help me out a bunch. What up, Smitty? I see you down there. And yes, I think that might be all that I got.
Thanks, man.
All right, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys get on to some content. I think that's all I got to tell you. There's going to be a lot of really cool shit going on soon. Chase Lepard is going to be coming on the podcast from, he's the meme maker for Your Mom's House podcast. I've got him nailed down to come do an episode next month. Ronnie Coco is going to come on and do an episode soon. I'm going to try to get Connor to come in and talk with both of us about comedy and all that stuff. But anyway, without further ado, episode number 183 of MI Stuff Podcast. Enjoy, motherfucker. And by the way, if you're just now joining us on audio, you're going to have to go and check out YouTube for the extra content that you're missing from the audio recording. So please go to YouTube and subscribe under Kelsey Hudgens. You like how I did that? I just started recording on the audio. Yeah. But man, it was so good. Man, just... I'm used to singing Tennessee Jet in G, and the original key that he does it in is C. So really? Yeah, so that was just not ideal vocally, but man, you have nothing to be ashamed of on that,
dude.
When you say a redo,
you work it.
When you say a redo, I want you to also do it again and every year and every single time because it's so damn good, man.
You did good.
You guys did good. You guys really killed it.
I feel like it's a state of mind thing. I just freak myself out.
Yeah, and usually those things affect you worse inside than they actually are.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. I remember last year I was freaking out over Tennessee Jed because Patterson called me. You know there's another verse in the middle of the damn song. And I was like, bro.
Dude, you've been through some stuff there. You're a soldier.
Yeah, I was like, bro, man, come on, dude. Like, help me out, dude. I'm just high. What you want? This year went good. Going to the rehearsal. You guys went to the rehearsal too?
Yeah, yeah.
Friday early. Doesn't that make all the difference? Hey, Tina, how's it going? I see you there.
Oh, by the way, did I tell you that? You can click here and follow along on the chat.
I totally forgot to tell you that. See, I'm missing all of the cues.
This mouse
on one. This episode, you have to click it to wake it up.
Meow.
Yeah.
I don't do this whole.
But it was so good. And as I was uploading the video, Doc Simon sends me a message, Jemima, OMG, .. God, man, and I was like, I was waiting for you to send me that message because I knew it was coming. Y'all killed that song.
Man, I appreciate it.
I'm gonna give it to you. It's so good, man. So good. But anyway,
I was so freaking out about tears.
You did it, though, man. You nailed it. And I'm not saying that to, like, ease your mind. Like, I telling you that. It, man. You really am.
I just disagree.
Me and Doc, like, I would love to. I wish I wasn't recording up here, man, so that I could show you what I sent to Doc. Like, man, I even told him, I was like, dude, wait until you hear Tears of Rage. And then I was like, the ending was a little weird because something happened at the very, but it was a drum thing.
I'm cringing thinking about it.
It wasn't you.
I'm reliving it again.
No, man, why? No, it wasn't you. Like, it was a band thing. Like, something happened with them at the end. Like, it was just on the coming down on the right and on the same.
I don't know. I don't know what that
what
show.
Up, Vicky?
I don't know what that show does to me, man. I'm like fiddling with my shirt buttons and I have.
I know what it is. It's because every fucking musician we know is there.
Yeah, but I don't know. This was like my fourth or fifth one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's basically it comes down to a lack of good preparation. Like, I'll cram before the before the show. Like, this year I started probably 2 weeks before.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Trying to, like, work myself, like, trying to figure out falsetto because I hardly ever sing falsetto. Like, hardly ever. I'm more likely to yodel than sing falsetto, honestly.
Do you do a lot of yodeling?
There's a couple, man. I do a little amateur yodeling. I sing a few cowboy songs, man. A lot of them are, like, almost polka is basically is what it is polka music, like, with it's like swing and polka.
Oh man, what did I just do?
Don Walzer, man, he was the Pavarotti of the Plains, man. That's what he did.
Pavarotti of the Plains. That's so good.
You ever
good.
See that movie, Secondhand Lions?
Yes.
Like, all that yodeling bit through that movie is Don Walzer.
God, that's such a. That is such an incredible movie.
I love Duvall. Lonesome Dove.
Dude, my Duvall is from, what's that?
Wasn't he in Open Range, too?
That I don't know.
Yeah, he was.
I remember him from, what up, Kimmy? How's it going? We are doing well.
Where do I hit this thing to see the live?
Right there. Oh, no. Well. You hit reload up here. And it should have popped up. There you go.
Hey, now.
There you go. And if you want to, If you want to, you can click those three dots over there above the chat into a pop-up chat, and then go to a Facebook up here. And that's just if you want to follow the Facebook chat too. But I should have all had all that set up for you. I was a little flustered coming in. But yeah.
I get it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. And yeah, if you want to click back on the thing there.
This here?
Yeah, and then go hit a new tab up there.
A new tab. Right.
And it'll go all ape shit for a second. And now click this again. This tab again. There you go. All right. You usually have to click this one to ground that one for some reason. And yeah, if you want to just go to Facebook, it probably, I don't know if it's signed in yet. You could follow along with the chat on the. Yeah, you can do that if you want to, or
I'll do it on my phone.
Yeah. But yeah. Shit, what was I just saying before I started doing that? I can't remember. Weed, forgive me.
We're talking about Robert Duvall movies.
Oh yeah, dude. That Robert Duvall, I remember from The Apostle. That was the one where
I ever saw that.
I just remember that there's a scene in The Apostle where he's like standing out in this field, and this guy is coming to plow this church down, and he's out standing in front of the bulldozer or whatever. It was a really good role that he played.
I didn't see that one.
But man, him and you'd have never thought that Michael Caine could play that role like that.
Yeah,
it's very good.
I remember seeing him on one of those late night TV shows right after the movie came out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how he picked up on the Texas accent.
Yeah,
pretty cool. I don't know. I like Michael Caine.
I do too. I mean, he's Austin Powers' dad.
That's true.
The coolest, right? Had to be.
Austin Powers.
So how's it going, man? How's the world treating you?
You're looking at it. Not too bad. Trying to get this fall and winter stuff figured out.
Oh, it's Doc.
Hey, Doc.
Maybe key of B next year. No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. I don't mind it. I don't mind that key, the original key.
I went in with I don't know, maybe a little bit more confidence than I should have. Because I was like, yeah, I'll get it together. I don't know. By the time it came to sing, it was like I had a nervous shutdown. Almost, I couldn't. I don't know whether it was because I couldn't physically hit the note, which probably was. I was avoiding the high stuff full voice, like I was trying. I was kind of like overcompensating with falsetto.
And I don't think it like that. That it sounded natural. It really did.
No, man, it's so out of pitch. Come on.
No, man, like it sounded. I didn't. I don't hear it like that.
It makes me sick. I mean, I love doing that, doing that show and being out there with everybody, and I love the music of the band. It's just like, oh my God, I hold them in too high regard to listen to that Bush League.
Oh man.
I don't know. I'm pretty particular about me in my ears. Like it's a really, really different thing hearing yourself externally.
Oh yeah.
Than like hearing your own speaking voice from inside your head.
Yeah, that's a huge compliment, huh, Doc? Patterson doesn't say good job to people, does he?
He said, dude, you were like the only guy Patterson said good job to.
Oh, I appreciate it. I really do. Yeah, I really want to go down to Austin and do that Graham Parsons tribute that they do.
Yeah, everybody talks about that being a pretty good thing. I need to listen to more Graham Parsons. I don't know enough about that catalog at all.
Man, there ain't a whole lot of it either. But he's I don't know, man. A lot of my favorite, like, alt country bands. I don't know. I'm really into that stuff.
Yeah.
Like Uncle Tupelo and Sunvolt and Wilco. And,
oh, yeah.
Like that little vein of it. And just how much, you know, just hearing his stuff being played by them and I can't remember who. I think it was our friend Carl, Carl Sylvia. He gave me the biography 20,000 Roads. It's a Graham Parsons biography.
Yeah.
And man, that's a really interesting interesting read for sure. It's fucking dark though.
Was he one of those like tormented souls?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, there was like all kinds of other circumstances though. He was like the heir to an extremely wealthy family, and I don't know. There was I don't know how to explain it aside from like just everything that was going on that he was like somewhat involved in.
Yeah.
Like, and like the Byrds and how he took over when they got rid of Crosby. And then that led to Crosby, Stills, Nash, and then eventually Young.
Yeah.
And just everything that they've... There's... I don't know. I got really deep into that rabbit hole, and Dean Black gave me like a double album release of his two basically solo albums. The stuff that he did with Emmylou Harris and... I just really got into it. Just the idea of that music was being made when it was being made, and I don't know.
I really like Uncle Tupelo and Wilco and Sunvolt and stuff like that. And just like people would always ask me about the Graham Parsons thing, and I was like, yeah, never really. They'd be like, well, how do you like this other stuff and not? So I just didn't know.
Yeah, it's... But,
I feel like that'll be if I've the only reason I haven't gone down that rabbit hole yet, and for the same reason I haven't gone down the John Prine rabbit hole yet, is because when I started listening to Towns, I became Towns. You know, I have one of those I don't know, I have that problem to where when I listen to something I like really
the influence.
Yeah, the influence is heavy.
Yeah, I gotta say that after reading that book, it was kind of depressive.
Yeah.
Just because it's fucking tragic shit, man.
Right.
And, yeah, I feel like I sort of, I don't know what the word for that would be, but, like, you start noticing, like, adopted tendencies or something, and you're like, why am I doing this? Like,
right.
This doesn't, I don't know. It creeps me out how like easily influenced we are.
Oh yeah, that's the thing, man. I'm very susceptible to that.
I think that's different with everybody, but I feel like everything's different for literally everybody.
Yeah, and I think do you feel like artists? Or it could just be a me thing, but do you think the artists are more like that? Like we try to see things through their eyes, but then we do too good of a job of that. And then it's almost like we become that person for a minute. I know that that's for sure a me thing, but I'm curious if, like,
Well, yeah, I mean, its influence doesn't have to come from, you know, just certain places. It's everything that you see, everything that you hear. Yeah, you got to, like, I'm just, like, figuring out, like, you got to kind of really take care of your mind.
You do, man.
You got to look out for your brain.
That's a lot of the conversation that me and Doc had after we got done doing the podcast, where he's like, I'm telling him all these, like, super personal things about myself, and then him just literally, in a way, diagnosing me and saying, here's where, from what you're saying, here's where your problems are. And it's just, I love Doc. He is, and I appreciate you for doing that, Doc, by the way. But just hearing him almost, I don't know, it's like you say everything that could give you the answers that you need. It's almost just a point of like, did you hear how you said this one thing about this one situation? Like, you said that one thing differently than you said the other stuff. And I guess having somebody who's trained to listen specifically to certain things like that, and he can literally just explain all of these problems to you. And one of the main things that he said was that life's too short to put your brain through that. Like, yeah, in a way, like, it's life's too short to not take care of yourself and mentally.
Yeah, it's really weird. I kind of, like, I have that same thing happens to me, or it has, it did, with particular songs and stuff too. Like, I just, like, feel a more personal connection to particular songs, and then I start, like, adapting just like you know, anything else.
Yeah,
just taking it on, and kind of I had to get over doing that playing these gigs around town, because I'd kind of get into, like, really, I don't know how to explain it, like, I felt like I was an embodiment of what I was singing, like, with fucking Poncho and Lefty.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really tight song for me, because my grandmother was a huge Willie Nelson fan.
Yeah.
So many of day in my childhood, I sat, like, in her closet with headphones on listening to. She had a home stereo tower. Like the one you have somewhere over there, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would listen to Willie albums. And, who else? She had the Gaither family, like a bunch of...
Oh, Gloria and Bill.
Yeah, man, like Tennessee gospel.
Oh, yeah.
Where are they out? They're out in, like, Missouri or something?
Yeah, that I don't know.
Where's the...
The Gaither Power Hour.
It's like the Midwest, Nashville. Branson, Missouri.
You know what's so funny?
I think they're in Branson.
Oh, man, that's the second time that Branson has come up. I have this bit that I was telling one of my friends about yesterday. About, I heard this ad on the radio for this quit smoking through hypnosis guy. I feel like if you had that kind of power, you wouldn't be performing at the Wilmington Marriott. I've quit smoking. That's Vegas talent. And then Patrick was like, or Branson. And I was like, what's Branson? He was like, Branson's like baby Vegas. So, and I only had to tell that story just so, yeah. Branson's come up twice in 2 days.
It's like the Vegas Strip, but it's all country.
Yeah.
It's like...
rednecks. Well, maybe not.
Well,
they are the show me state.
Missouri. That's right. I can't can't remember what I was talking about.
You were saying that you were talking about Gaithers, the Gaithers.
Mm. Yeah. Just so, anyways, that was a wild tangent. Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
So Poncho and Lefty was like one of my favorite songs as a kid, and I'd never even heard Towns' version, or you know, the only version, the original, until I don't know, maybe I was like 21 or 22.
Yeah.
And I still, when I hear that, I dig it. I like Merle so much too.
Oh man, Merle's so strong. Merle's just got that. He's got one of those voice that says, I don't want to say it says I don't care, but he's got one of those voices I don't have to.
Oh, I feel like,
you know,
he's, I've always heard he was a pretty strict band leader. But yeah, we were talking earlier about him being on the Marty Stewart show. Man, I watched the, I can't remember what song it was he played. That's What Love Will Get You or something like that. And he was later, you know, it was probably within the last 10 years. And that was like the last image that I had of him. I didn't realize when he had gotten sick. And
yeah,
she had tickets to go see. She went and saw the show at the Florence
Civic Center.
Civic Center. But it was after they had rescheduled, and Kris Kristofferson did it with him.
Oh wow!
So he sang in front of Merle's band, and I think Merle's son was there, Ben Haggard.
He's pretty good.
I haven't really listened to a whole
lot of Seth sent me some of his stuff.
He's a he sent me something tonight. Turnpike Troubadours.
They're pretty good too.
I like that the album with the horse on it.
Yeah, I don't know enough about him to.
That's a good album.
Man, he sent me. I wouldn't know any of that underground stuff if it wasn't for him. Like, I would know nothing about Kieran Kane, Kevin Welch, nothing about, like, Joe Pug or John Moreland. Man, I would not know any of that without him.
I remember riding down to Apple Annie's, and you're like, you ever heard this Joe Pug? Me, you, and Smitty.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's that? I Do My Father's Drugs.
Yeah.
What a great song.
Right? Dude, when the party starts on Monday, Christmas starts in June. Dude, yeah, Joe Pug is great. He's got a song called Hymn 101. Have you ever heard that song?
Mm-mm.
He's got a line in that song that says, I've come to know the manger that you sleep in. I've come to be the stranger that you keep. I've come from down the road, girl. My footsteps never slowed. Before we met, I knew we'd meet. Like, just his way of... And that's just one random verse from that song. The rest of them are equally as good. I've come to meet the legendary takers. I've only come to ask them for a lot. They say I've come with less than I should rightfully possess. I say the more I buy, the more I'm bought. And the more I'm bought, the less I cost.
Whew. That's heavy.
Man, ain't it? It's so good, man. But, you can move that over to where it's supposed to go. What you want to do?
I'm like dropping things out of.
That's all good, man.
Can't find them.
But,
I'm not a Mac savvy.
What do you need?
I'm good.
Okay. But no, it's, yeah, I would not. Seth's got a lot to do with
me onto a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. It's just those CDs. Those are just like, if you want some CDs, you don't look at some music. Just pulling out those.
He usually sends me like a, some sort of digital format.
Yeah, I told him because I've always been a big Tom Waits guy, man, and he gave me Chuck E. Weiss. I would have never gotten into Chuck E. if it wasn't for him.
I love Tom Waits. I do. I wish I was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And he talks about Chuck E. Weiss in that song. I love it. I love Tom Waits. I think he's an alien.
I think so too, man. Did you see that video that I posted of the interview that came out in 1979 in Australia with the Joker? Yeah.
That was the influence for it?
So Heath Ledger was born in 1979 in Australia. That Tom Waits interview aired in 1979 in Australia. If you look at Heath Ledger's Joker and look at Tom Waits in that interview, it's almost like that's what he studied.
Like mannerisms?
Yeah, just like...
That's cool.
Like where he's like, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. Or however he does it. And it just sounds like the Joker. Right?
That was a great Tom Waits.
Yeah, well,
Joker.
Yeah.
Tom Waits as the Joker.
What's he building in there? He gets a lot of mail, but he doesn't have any children. Or whatever. It's so creepy in my house when I'm here by myself, just because it's usually Tom Waits playing in the dark or just those sounds of bones. And I don't know how he does it, but every single album he does, even the songs that sound pretty like All the World is Green or something like that, like those songs, they're very like nice sounding, but then it just has that haunt behind it like that. All the world is green. Like it resolves on a major, but it doesn't sound like it does.
It makes me think of New Orleans.
Yeah,
I heard you say last night you've never been there.
Never.
Man.
Man. I like home a lot, man.
I was born in Texas.
Yeah.
Most of my family moved. They were from South Carolina.
Yeah.
They moved out to Texas because my grandfather worked for Nucor Steel. And so they transferred him to Texas.
Yeah.
So that's where my mom and my aunts and uncles went to school. And so that's where I was born. And then when I was three, my grandfather moved back to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Mom went with him, brung us with her, of course.
Yeah.
And
hey, Preston.
My aunt stayed. She got married, and she still lives out there. So back in, like...
In Tejas?
Almost every summer, we would go back. And then I lived there for a couple of years as an adult. Shout out to Sean Brown, man, from San Antonio, Texas.
Shout out to Sean. I always forget. He is from there.
Yeah, man. Him and Leanne both.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We share, like, San Antonio Spurs stories and stuff. But, and he's got that, like, I don't know.
That Texas sound?
That Mexican vibe, like.
Yeah.
And his guitar playing, man. When they do, he does a solo, I think they do it. In every aspect, like Potato Heads, Bullfrog, they all do a Tito and Tarantula song from the Quentin Tarantino movie with George Clooney and
the
Dust Till Dawn. They do the song when Salma Hayek is doing a dance scene. And Tito and Tarantula is the house band in the movie. They're the guys dressed up like mariachis, and
that's cool.
When they turn undead, they're like playing body parts.
I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
They do that song so well, man. It reminds me of San Antonio for sure.
See, when I watched that movie, that was pre his directorial debut, right? Or was it?
No, that was a. I think that was that. That might have. I want to say that was him and
Robert Rodriguez. Yes,
but he had already done.
I think like Desperado? He might have done Jackie Brown or Desperado or something like that. Yeah. I know Pulp Fiction was 94. What year was?
Dusk Till Dawn, I think, was 96. I'm a huge fan of Quentin Tarantino.
Have you? How do you feel about the new one? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't. Hollywood?
I haven't. Yeah.
Oh yeah, we made sure to go see that. I dug it. I don't know. It's kind of. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't yet.
Well, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. It's worth it. It's good. I like it better than The Hateful Eight.
Oh, man. The Hateful Eight was...
That was great. That was a fucking terrifying movie to me.
It was great dialogue. I can't enjoy it as much as I should because I knew what guitar that was he busted.
Oh, yeah. Snafu. Whoops.
Bro. Whoops. That breaks my heart. That
was an ancient guitar.
That was the oldest Martin in the world.
That's not funny.
It's not. It's the oldest Martin in the world. And it breaks my heart. Just the tension to see her break character at that point.
That's such a Kurt Russell movie. Have you seen his, like, in all of his recent stuff?
Damn.
Like, since
I saw a Santa Claus movie on Netflix. I liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, is that recent?
Yeah, it was like okay, last year, like, this past year.
He had, he's done a bunch of really, really, like, gory movies. There's a movie on Amazon called Bone Tomahawk.
And I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's gnarly. And all that stuff he did, like the Death Proof.
Yeah.
That was those
movies. That's right. I forgot about those. That was Robert Rodriguez and Tarantino, right?
Yeah.
Death Proof
and Planet Terror.
I've got Planet Terror. I don't have Death Proof.
Death Proof is, Kurt Russell is a straight creep in that movie.
Oh, man. He played good creep. You know, I didn't know. Did you ever watch The Battered Bastards of Baseball?
Mm-mm.
It's about this baseball team, Shit, I would know this if I wouldn't try and say it. But it's like this independent baseball team that Kurt Russell's dad started. And Kurt Russell was like he played for the team when he was younger or whatever. And his dad started his team. I didn't realize how involved he was. He was like apparently a pretty talented baseball player.
I believe it, man.
I didn't realize that about him, but that's a good thing if you're ever interested in that Battered Bastards of Baseball. I'll watch anything that says baseball in the title.
That's another
except thing. Mr. Baseball, because I don't give a shit about that one.
Tombstone, man. I absorbed a lot from that movie. I could probably do it from beginning to end, credit to credit.
Yep. Same. Val
Kilmer.
The dialogue in that movie. And it's just like
Did you ever see the Kevin Costner wider?
Yeah.
That two disc, like Titanic.
Yep. I just.
3.5 hour.
I just think that they saw how much we freaked out over Tombstone, and they were just trying to do everything they could to cash in on that. Because in that era, there were a lot of really good, like, well, even Western B movies like Purgatory, stuff like that came out right around that time, like, or within the next decade, at least from that. Tombstone started like a. Like, definitely a little Western resurgence.
Resurgence, for sure.
Yeah. And I love that, man. I wish there were more Westerns today. I love them. That's why I hated...
I now, like those Italian Westerns, too, man.
Those Italian ones? Which ones?
The Spaghetti Western trio, of course. But, I can't think of his name. I can't remember whether it was Sergio Leone... directed them.
Yeah.
I know for sure that Ennio Morricone did the score, like, you know, the Fender guitar.
Yeah. Didn't he do the Django thing too? Wasn't that?
I'm not sure if he did Django, but I know he did these. Now I can't even think of the name of the movies. Nobody? My Name is Nobody, I believe it is. Let me look that up. But they're, I think they're all dubbed, but they're hilarious.
Yeah.
They're
hilarious. See, my dad was a huge like John Wayne strange. Western guy. Yeah, like when I remember just getting up in the morning, I'd wake up at his house and he'd already be drinking coffee, watching a Western. You know, some Western would be on television. He'd be up in his chair, and I remember Rio Bravo was on one morning, and that's one of my favorite John Dean Wayne. Martin. Yeah, dude. But dude, I just love that. I don't know. I love the thought of that, and Tombstone really did a lot for that in the 90s, like, because it seemed like everybody had already forgotten about it. And the Western is great because it's the only story we have as Americans,
right?
That is all ours. That belongs to nobody else. Nobody else can tell that story. That's an American's story.
Well,
that whole blazing the like the whole gold rush, the going from east to west, like romantics, comedies, dramas, horror, all of those got their start in, you know, overseas and in Rome and in Greece and shit like that. But like the Western, I feel like that's our story, you know. Russell Green had that thought a long time ago, and I kind of piggybacked off of that from him. But well, that's our story. Not many people else can tell that, you know, like that. But that being said, if you give us
a lot of grim stuff left out in the Tombstone thing, you
know? Oh yeah, well, Deadwood made up for that.
Yes, I love Timothy Oliphant too.
Dude, Timothy Oliphant was great. Ian McShane. Ian
McShane, yeah.
And even Jason Isbell's got a sitting in the. Jason Isbell's got a scene in it where he's just sitting in the. Really? Like, yeah. He posted a picture on his Instagram where he was sitting behind. I can't remember her name, but she's the woman that bought everything up that was Timothy Oliphant's love interest before.
Molly Parker. I can't remember.
I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure, but yes. Dark but there's hair. Yep. Yeah. Dark curly hair, and she was like Jason Isbell sitting behind Timothy her in a shot.
Omundson's wife.
Omundson's, really?
Yeah, he was he was on that show Psych, but he was the guy that went out the.
Oh yeah, that
got thrown off the mountain.
Yeah. You know,
prospecting.
His wife, prospecting.
Molly Parker, yeah.
Man, that show was so. Those characters was. Did you watch the Deadwood movie when it came out?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, because that is the where Jason Isbell's got a scene.
Okay.
In that movie.
Okay. Yeah, I just saw the three HBO.
The movie's all right. Series. The show's way better than the movie was.
HBO's got some good series.
Have you looked at that Righteous Gemstones yet, dude?
I've seen clips of it, but... oh, man. I saw somebody... somebody had a thread going of that stuff. Was it Baby Billy?
Uncle Baby Billy running through the house with a pickle in my mouth. There's two little country kids outside misbehaving. Yeah, dude, it's so hilarious.
Danny McBride's character looks amazing.
Dude, those mutton chops, man. Dude, you know what's really surprised me in this scene? In this, and I don't know why I'm surprised, but John Goodman. Working with them.
Dude, that video that you sent me, I was like, man, he looks menacing.
Dude, it's so good. We're just, he leans back and just like, you know, kicking over in his chair and say, do you know who that is singing? Uh-uh. Jennifer Nettles.
Oh, from Sugarland. Really?
Yeah, that's her that's with Walter Coggins.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was her.
Yep. Daryl's the one that told me that. Daryl and Adam are the ones that got me into this show. They were like, Daryl started watching, and he was like, bro, you got, like, Danny McBride. And I was like, dude, Danny McBride just gets on my nerves sometimes just because he's the same character and everything. He was like, dude, don't worry about Danny McBride. Watch this show for Walter Coggins. Himself. Yeah.
And this is the end.
Dude, and it's just like this has to be who you really are.
I was like, jeez.
It just had to be who he really is.
Kenny Powers.
He is just Kenny Powers in real life. He just seems like it. And he's got that. He's from North Carolina, I think, or Georgia or somewhere like that. He's from.
I just saw, like, I think a.
One of those. Somewhere around here.
I saw an ad or something for the Charleston County Library.
He lives there. It.
Okay.
He lives there now.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Danny McBride with a Charleston. Yeah, because he's got a library card.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I just got my library card up there in Conway.
Oh, yeah? That Conway library is nice.
I checked out the Gonzo, the, like...
The Frank Zappa? Yeah. Oh, Turner S. Thompson. Yeah.
Speaking of, like, taking on that kind of shit, man, I was like, I gotta give this a break.
Yeah, I got a portrait of him on my wall, man.
I love his writing.
And the Shavis Regal mirror, he woke every day, and that's, the you know, part of his, like...
Yeah,
part of routine. His little... Yeah, the routine. That's part of it. Yeah.
He's a monster.
They were just like, you know, man, he might not have done this every day, but just that day that we were documenting it, this is what he did.
Right. Well, I think Joe Rogan said something about it. How that was like something that he would put on.
Yeah.
Like
when he knew they were watching. Yeah. That's right. I've heard him say that too. When the camera's rolling and they know it.
Yeah, and there was some interesting stuff. Like, it was kind of... It's kind of weird reading it because it's like... It's all broken up thoughts. It's like...
Yeah.
Different people... There's just small paragraphs.
Yeah.
Like little short stories. Kind of like a... We got a book on Bill Murray called The Tao of Bill Murray.
I've heard that. You commented somebody else... You
comment, Danny.
Yeah.
Danny keeps doing his profile pictures. Oh man, I love
Danny's the funniest person Murray on the internet, probably
in Wes Anderson movies. I love Bill Murray in Wes Anderson. I like Bill Murray in just about anything, but me and Gentry are like huge Wes Anderson fans.
Now, I haven't gotten into Wes Anderson yet, and every time that somebody gets me to watch a movie, I feel like I just don't get it. But what is one that I need to watch to where I can, like, because I don't know. I've tried with Life Aquatic. I've tried.
That's a tough first one.
That's the first one that I've tried. I've tried with that one. Tenenbaums. I've seen
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Grand Budapest?
Yeah. I would say Grand Budapest is probably a really good first one. Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Like, yeah.
The Roald Dahl book.
Yeah.
They animated. They did a stop motion animation. And it's got George Clooney and Meryl Streep and
all of his movies always has an all-star cast.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I've noticed. I like that.
He's got that, like, Roman Coppola, or no, Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he knows Roman Coppola. I think they...
Francis Ford Cage. Just Nicholas Ford Coppola.
I don't understand that.
Nicholas Cage.
Yeah, I know who both of these people are.
Well, Nicolas Cage is Francis Ford Coppola's grandson. Nicolas Cage's real name is Nicholas Coppola.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Nicholas Coppola. He changed his name because he didn't want a pig, like a coattail.
Right on.
His name.
Is Roman Coppola a relation?
Maybe his dad. Who knows? Maybe. Because Francis Ford Coppola was the... I think that's right. That would be about right. Nicolas Cage is going to be Francis Ford Coppola's grandson, right?
Coppola,
yeah. Well, that'd be right? Let me watch this. We got the whole
thing here. No, I've never heard anything like that before. Anyways, yeah, we're huge fans of... No. Who else am I thinking? Not Francis Ford Coppola. The guy that supposedly filmed the moon landing.
Nicolas Cage is the nephew of a famous director, Francis Ford Coppola.
Okay. Coppola did The Godfather. I'm adopting your alliteration of this word.
Is it Coppola or Coppola?
I don't know. I've always said Coppola.
Okay.
But I'm for this podcast.
I'll say it until... I'm
saying Coppola. Let me get up on the mic.
Yeah, I'll say it until I'm corrected by someone. And I don't know. Until I'm corrected by someone, it doesn't really matter if they're right or wrong. I'm just...
The Godfather.
Dude, now, The Godfather
I'm not deep within The Godfather stuff.
Have you watched them?
I've seen them.
Recently?
No, and it was mostly edited for cable.
Man.
You know what I mean? Like TNT.
Do yourself a favor and watch all the Godfather movies.
I know Duvall's in them, too.
Yeah, dude. I love mob movies. Those mobster movies like The Departed and Goodfellas, Casino,
Scorsese,
all those like mob. Yeah, any of those old Scorsese. And I can't wait for The Irishman. It's going to be so good. We can grab a refill. Yeah, cool. We got all of these great mob movies and all of these great references that you get from all these movies, and you know, and a lot of people don't know where they come from. Dude, watching Godfather, you forget, like, Sleeps with the Fishes, where that comes from. You know, you forget where that they even killed his horse.
Make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah, make him an offer he can't refuse. They even killed his horse. You can grab some more ice if you want.
Good, man. If I have ice, I will crunch it.
Oh, I hear you.
I do that directly in the microphone.
That's cool. These folks won't care.
I'm worried about that nose whistle.
Oh yeah, I hear you, man. But nah, man, like all of those old sayings that came from that, like you can never refuse a Sicilian's, you can never refuse an offer, a Sicilian cannot refuse any request on the day of his daughter's wedding. Like, it's just all these little things that you will hear in other aspects of shit where you don't know, oh man, so that, man, all came from Godfather. It's beautiful, man, a beautiful story. Godfather 3 was still very good. But man, the original, you should watch that now, like after like having been a while.
I played the Godfather video game.
Oh, man. On the PlayStation 2?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yep. I've always been a PlayStation guy.
PlayStation 3, maybe?
Could have been. What is it now? Oh, it's the 4 now. So yeah, it probably was the 3. Yeah, yeah. PlayStation 3, that's right. I keep forgetting that's the only console that I've ever got. I got a 3 in my room, I got a 4 out here, and my 2, I don't even know where that is, but I've always liked PlayStation better. They never charge you for your live. Xbox always charge you for Xbox Live, man.
I never had any sort of live video game. I had a PlayStation 2, and then when my youngest sister was little, they got a Wii.
Oh, man.
So I got a lot of Wii hours. I got a lot of Wii experience points.
Guaranteed, you only played the sports. The Wii Sports, right?
Wii Sports, we did a fair amount of Wii music.
Ah, I didn't know about that. Did y'all have little pads and everything like the...
No, just a... Just the whackers. The forehead whackers.
Man, We played all Wii Sports. We did Wii Bowling the most, and Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods was fun on the Wii. It was like Tiger Woods 2007, I think. That was fun, man.
My buddy got a PlayStation 3 and had the PS Move.
Oh, man.
And he had this disc golf game. It was fire.
It's so crazy, like, the hours that we would waste doing these.
He'd have parties over at his house, and he would be he had this huge TV and this great sound system, and he would live stream fish shows and have parties, and everybody would come hang out, and then there would just be the fish show that's happening tonight is playing in the living room. And he had that PS Move, and like when the party would clear out, anybody, like a few people, would stay over. We'd just drink Knob Creek and play PS Move.
Oh, Knob Creek bourbon.
Disc golf.
Isn't that bourbon?
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, man. I remember I bought a Wii off of shopgoodwill.com, which is a thing, by the way. I should have never even said that, because now I've just doomed you guys to spend all of your extra dollars on this eBay. Okay, so here's the thing about shopgoodwill.com.
We're pretty
That's good. We're conservative financially.
Sometimes.
That's good, because I am not.
We do. We feed ourselves pretty well.
Oh, don't get me wrong now. 900% of my money goes to food. You've seen that meme, like, where does all your money go? And that's me. Like, I'm that guy. Like, I'm serious. Like, my folks, I remember when I wasn't doing well financially, my folks knew because I was losing weight. Like, if you know I'm doing, like, if I'm looking like this, they're like, okay, so, well, at least we know you're doing okay. But man, I'm here to tell you, dude. Shit, where was I just going with that? I got to thinking about the meme and the food. And, oh, shopgoodwill.com. Shop Goodwill. So it's like eBay, but there's no reserves. Zero reserves.
Do they just ship it to you?
Yep. You have to pay for the, like, there's no, like, flat rate for shipping. Like, they tell you exactly how much it's going to cost to ship it to your address. That little guitar that I gave you a while ago, that was a $12 guitar off of shopgoodwill.com.
Nice.
It's a $12 guitar. The electric guitar that I play with the American sound, the Strat, $25. $25 with $24 shipping. I got two of them. I gave one to my old roommate. He said he wanted to learn how to play guitar, and I was like, "Here, man, you can have this one. I got it for $25." I got so much really cool shit off of shopgoodwill.com for nothing, like next to nothing. But I got so many little things that it just accumulated.
Nice.
But yeah, dude, it's like eBay, but there's no reserve prices. Like there's $8,000 guitars on there that are going for like a couple hundred bucks.
We stuff like that. When we hit the road, we'll shop at like vintage clothing and vintage stuff. You know, Goodwills. There's a place in Spartanburg called the Brown Roof.
Yeah.
We like to thrift shop. I think I was in a Goodwill not too long ago, and they had a drum set in there, full kit. It was like $200 maybe.
Really?
Yeah, I thought if I'd have had $200 to blow, I'd have had her.
I had a buddy that texted me.
In the art room at the house.
Yeah, I had a buddy text me a while back and was like, or he put on Facebook, got a drum set for sale, hi-hat, one cymbal, $100 or best offer. And I texted him, I was like, well, the shells are probably worth $100. You know, no matter what the kit is, if it was like a real wood, I was like, they're real wood shells? Like, not that, like, laminate stuff or whatever, like real wood shells. He's like, yeah. It's all right. Fuck it. Bring it over here. I got them set up back there. I mess around with it every now and again. I have a problem, though. I have to use that bar stool to play because my legs are so long. And like, for... I realized that I was just not good with my feet. Like, my feet just wouldn't keep up with my hands. And I realized anytime your hips are lower than your knees, it throws off that... It throws off the rhythm for me. So I was like, if I get a taller stool, I was like, shit, I'm not a bad drummer up here.
Dude, drums for me have always been that movie Step Brothers. When Will Ferrell sees the drum kit for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
That's how they are. That's it. That is me. That's me. Like the.
Yeah.
The music and everything. I've always been like,
drawn to the drums.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, me too, man. For sure.
Yeah, all the rhythm stuff. But drums specifically, my cousin, played drums in his family's church's band.
Yeah.
And every once in a while we would go to church with them and I'd see my cousin playing drums and he had a drum set at his house and like it was always a
can't touch this,
right? Yeah, it's always you know
but off that's, limits.
I mean, I get it. I don't know. Music being like a livelihood situation, I understand to an extent, I guess.
Yeah,
but it was always one of those things where it's like they make too much noise. You know,
you can't turn them down. There's no volume knob. That was my folks' thing.
in when I was in San Antonio, I was in the Army for a little bit. And when I was in San Antonio on Fort Sam Houston, they had this place where you could basically rent. It was like kind of like how the studio is up there.
You
like,
just rent time
at Wonder House.
Yeah.
But there, yeah, you could like go into a room and play drums. They had a drum set, so I'd, I think it was like a $20 an hour or something like that. You go, I went in there and just, I'd go in there like, I don't know, once every 2 or 3 months and just like beat it out.
Yep. It's good, man. It's good for getting anger out. Bill Burr talks about it a lot. You listen to Monday Morning Podcast. I've heard
that he's a pretty good drummer.
He's a good drummer. He really is. I saw him in an episode of Crashing.
For a comedian.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what's funny is...
He's so funny.
Most comedians are also really, really good at some other activity. Like, they're, like, stupid good at something else. Like, Joe Rogan is... doesn't miss on a pool table. They talk about how great he is at pool. Like, it's just in that, that's like lore around. Like, and Bill Burr is a really good drummer. Like, he's actually really talented. Dean Del Rey is one of the, like, he fronted a band forever before he started doing comedy. So he's like a pretty decent singer. I'd love to see a lot of those guys. I'd like to see a band of comedians.
Yeah, what's that guy? Fred Armisen.
Yes. He's a great artist. He's a great musician.
Conan plays guitar.
Conan plays guitar. Fallon plays everything. Most of those guys can, I think. I wonder at what point did they decide, you know, we're going to, because Fallon probably could have made it, or Conan, they probably could have made it in a band or something like that. I wonder at what point did they decide to just completely abandon the music thing and do the comedy. Maybe it's just when the phone rings. I don't know.
I'm sure they went to school and have some sort of, like, they took writing seriously.
Yeah.
That's in the, that's what they ended up being. I'm not sure. Hell, you never know nowadays.
I'm going to quit and do comedy.
Right.
I'm going to quit music and do comedy. It's going to be my first bit. Like, I played music professionally for a really long time, which is a pretty simple job for a lazy guy like me, but somehow I figured out how to put even less effort in.
Dude, I feel like this is the only town that I would ever be working in, music-wise.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see going...
I mean, as far as, like, places to play.
Yeah.
And...
Do you stay busy about year round?
Yeah, everything I've heard from like people, we go to Asheville pretty often.
Yeah,
We fucking love it up there. And we met a guy that works at one of the breweries up there, and he was talking about he had a gig down somewhere in South Florida, had gigs to do all year, made enough money to live on and more, and he was like, "Man, I want to get serious and move to like a music town, you know, and do it there." And he, I guess, chose Asheville. And he was like, "Stay where you are."
That's what everybody like, says, man.
Don't do it because it's hard to get a gig. And if you get $50, like, you can't, like, yeah, that's what it is. Like,
dude, we're there's so somebody lucky there that's here.
Like, shut up because I will do that gig for $20.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing.
Let's not talk about it anymore.
Yeah, okay. That's one thing I like about having a guy, who says, we're going to, yeah, well, he'll come play this show, but it's going to cost this much. And that eliminates the, oh, well, I'll do it for cheaper route. You know, that eliminates the whole, oh, well, I'll do that gig for this. So it's sort of, it when that's in the mix, it sort of drops the price of what we get paid. And we're very, very fortunate to get paid what we do around here.
Right. Well, it also alleviates the hassle of doing that shit.
Right. Dude, I ain't going to do it.
Spot.
I ain't going to do it. Like, shit, I'd rather call. And it makes sense for that role to exist. for the bars and for the artists. It just makes sense for only having to make one or two phone calls than having to call the 30 bands you book for one room, or for vice versa for us, for to not have to call the 30 rooms that we play. Then,
and it feeds.
Yeah, man.
Not me.
Right. Ain't it? I'm sorry, man. I'm good. I really enjoy my...
I will take the gig.
Yes. Yes is the answer to that question.
Double? Sure.
I was doing this thing a while ago, and we got this... before I got here, when I was doing this thing, we got this thing that we got to do next Tuesday. So I sent a message. I was like, hey, man, I see that I'm off next Tuesday. Let's keep that date off. Got something I can't miss. And he was like, all right, that's cool. You know, just fine. That's great. But any other time, I'll get a call randomly. And, I mean, I'm sure you do, too, like every other week or something. Hey, man, you want to pick up on blah, blah, blah here or something like that? And about every other week, I'll get the opportunity to pick up a gig that I wouldn't have had. And that's, I don't know, man. We're lucky here. We're very lucky here.
Indeed.
We're lucky for good rooms, and we're lucky for lazy musicians who cancel at last minute, too, because there's a lot of us that do that, and I'm one of them. I used to be. I'm not anymore. I used to be a can. Dude, how many times did I used to call you, man? Hey, man, you want to go do, you want to do this?
Right.
God, I was just so bad about that.
But, Sean's giving me a bunch of them, too.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I got no voice.
By the way, thank you for that. Thank you for taking those gigs.
Oh, dude.
I appreciate it. I really do.
No way, man. Listen, the gig that we covered for you at Apple Annie's,
yeah,
in Florence, like during the country music festival.
Yeah.
That night we found our cat, man. We found a cat on the side of the highway.
Is it young Christofferson?
It's Joplin.
Joplin.
Christofferson. We got him. PetSmart? Yeah, I think it was,
yeah, you've told me that story. Y'all stopped and like put in a lot of time to get this cat to like.
Yeah.
Didn't y'all turn around after you pass it or whatever? Or some beautiful story like that.
She was like, I think I just saw a cat on the side of the road. I was like, you sure it wasn't like a possum? She was like, no.
They look a little bit like cats.
It was like a kitten. He's got a white face. And she was like, turn around. And I hate to even think that like I wouldn't do that for a possum, but I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
I've known plenty of people that have...
don't let Taylor hear you say it.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't have anything against possums.
I don't either.
But probably not likely to.
Right. But they're an outside animal. It's different.
Well, you know? I don't know. I don't understand. Now that I'm thinking about it, like, I really don't understand why I would be like, oh, okay, wild cat. Let's go get it. And this cat was like covered in ticks and fleas and stuff too, but it was like rapping at the door.
Yeah.
Like its paws were all jacked up from, I guess,
asphalt.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. She meowed that cat across a ditch to her.
Oh.
Aww. I said, snatch him and give him to me.
Yeah. Hand me that cat.
Give me that cat. Yeah, and so we went home, slept for like 3 hours, woke up, took the cat to the vet.
Yeah.
And then played
the SBB or the Bowery, that thing.
The Bowery again the next day. Yeah, that was wild. And then you were talking about the only gigs that I've missed since I've really started working in town were like, I would say within the last 3 years are, like, total emergency.
Yeah.
Like, kidney stones and the like.
Kidney stones are bad, huh? I never got that.
Yeah, and I didn't realize. I mean, I guess I kind of halfway did realize what was happening.
Yeah.
But it was weird. It wasn't, like, it didn't make me nervous or scared or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know, it kind of made me sick, like, just the, it's a strange pain, and, we were all totally, like, set up, and it was time to go, and they had backed the gig start time up, because I use a X-Air system.
Yeah.
And before this was the night that I went and got a router for it.
Okay.
Instead of using its internal thing, because if you get around too many active signals, then you won't be able to connect to your tablet.
Yeah.
So I had to run to Best Buy from like down on the boulevard. Went to Best Buy, bought a modem, so had to go back to Best Buy, buy a router.
That sucks, man. Yeah,
I made two trips to Best Buy. I got back, they were like, "It's fine. It's a country music festival after party." The first night of the country music festival 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were like, "Start at 9:00. You're good." 9:00 happened. Just finished putting a windscreen on my microphone, and it's time to go. I'm live, and I can't even like stand up anymore. And the people that were like right there next to where we were set up, they were like, "I think he don't look so good." And they were like, "You turned green."
That ain't a good color to turn.
It was bad. I barely made it down to the truck. She took me up to a Grand Strand. They were like, "Yeah, you got kidney stones, a bunch in both kidneys." But they were all kind of small, so I'll have one every once in a while. But they were like, "You're a," I can't remember whether they did an X-ray or like a CT scan. But they were like, "You got a lot, but they're really small." Like, I'll feel them every once in a while, but it hasn't been like that since that.
I've had that a couple of times where I'll just like. Now is it mostly like a situation where you're pissing, or is it just like all the time? Like, it's just like you feel it.
No, I feel it because the canal between your kidney to your bladder is smaller than bladder out.
Yeah.
So I'll feel it come from my back.
All the way up around.
Yeah, just.
Yeah.
It's an internal thing, so it's like I can feel it good down. And once it gets into my bladder, I don't usually notice them on the way out, which is lucky. But it feels like something's in there, just like twisting.
Like sand spurs, huh?
Oh, man. Well, it's a very dull pain because it's very internal. It's like super inside you. So it's not like sharp like you think cutting yourself or something.
Yeah.
It's like a really, I don't know, it's almost like a spiritual pain.
I believe it.
It brings me to my knees.
Before God.
Lord.
Take this away from me. Man, I don't know. I used to always fear that. And as a matter of fact, I heard somebody, one of the adults, get kidney stones when I was a kid. And they equated it to him drinking too much sweet tea.
Well, wow.
So back in the day, I remember hearing that and being like scared to drink sweet tea for a really long time.
Yeah, dude, that's so weird.
You ever get that?
Yeah, they were because that's all my family ever drank.
Like,
we always had sweet tea made.
Yeah,
always
a jug of sweet tea every time. It's better the day after in the refrigerator.
Usually two at a time. Like everybody would be two at a time. Like my grandparents did old milk jugs.
Oh, yeah.
This one's sweet tea. This one is for your uncle.
Yeah. That's right.
Not sweet tea.
Red cap, blue cap.
Yep. It's whole milk.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No, but seriously, dude, that was a thing. And I just remember being like scared to drink sweet tea for a while. And then
you come to find out that it's actually, they're either made of calcium or protein.
So there's all the stuff you already need.
Yeah, like you're more likely to get a kidney stone from like milk than you are sweet tea.
Yeah, and I don't drink milk at all.
Yeah, my brother doesn't drink milk either. I grew up. I'm a milk drinker, man. I'm a
sister. You're like a Gronkowski, dude. I'll get a half a gallon of milk. I'll get like a half a gallon of milk and make like a bowl of cereal or two, and then the rest of the milk will spoil.
We spoil a good bit of milk too, and that's only because before, like, all this kidney stone shit started happening,
yeah,
I was pretty heavy on the dairy. So
the cheeses.
Oh, I love cheese.
Man, ain't nothing like butter. Butter and this is the best stuff. They're like, I'm like Andy Dwyer. I think butter might be my favorite food.
Bovine fat, man.
God, it's so good. No wonder they're worshipped. Everything about them is delicious. That was a bad joke. Forgive me if there's any vegans out there that are upset about what I just said. Forgive me. It was just to be funny.
No offense. Yeah, bovine.
That had to be awfully conflicting to the early Jews who were like building altars to God and burning sacrifices. And like, I understand that this is supposed to be for God, but it smells really good, and I want to eat it. Imagine what that had to be like.
You know they were.
Of course they were. What are you going to do? Waste an entire young ram? Eat it. Maybe. I don't know. But then what do you when you see the vultures come down, because surely birds did that back then. They would have to come down and, like, they don't know no better. They don't know that's for God. They're going to eat it. What up, Christy? How's it going?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's just a random thought. I'm actually going to try to turn that into a bit. I think that'd be pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. How's the stand-up going?
Dude, in my solo gigs, I'm talking more than I'm playing now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's basically the same argument for me to, like, I have a foot pedal that has a loop function, but I use it only. I don't even really know how to use it yet.
Pedal is it?
It's a Boss ME80. It's like a digital multi.
That thing right there.
That very thing. Yep.
Seth Funderburk told me that you got one and that it made your guitar sound better than playing it through an amp. And I got one, and I didn't think about it until just now when you said Boss ME80.
Oh man, I use.
It has a loop effect on it.
Yeah. On the delay function.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
Because I got the DL4 too, the Boss DL4 up there, and it's also like got a pretty sizable loop.
Oh nice.
Yeah. Sampler.
Yeah, I looked pretty heavily into those, just from hearing about how I was like, I do like 9 songs a set.
Building songs. That's awesome.
Build them up.
How much loop does it give you? Like,
I don't even know. I do it like the only songs that I've even used it on are like Dreams, Fleetwood Mac.
Oh man,
so it's just like 2-chord songs. So I only have to do.
Isn't that the best?
Very short little loop.
Dude, Fleetwood Mac is one of those bands that I didn't get into until more recently in life. And, man, and I say more recently, I mean within the last, I didn't get into them as a kid.
Right.
But, dude, man.
Man, my mom had my sister on Fleetwood Mac young, so I heard a lot of it when I was young. But I didn't really get into them until I was an adult. I was a truck driver.
Yeah.
And my supervisor was like, here, listen to this. Because he was also into the band.
Yeah.
And, like, I dabbled a little bit. Like, some people knew that I played guitar. Like, if it came up or whatever, I would say that fiddle on a guitar a little bit. Because it's the only thing I ever really liked doing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
On guitar. And I always, like, it makes me sick. As long as I've been doing it, I should be so much better at it.
Dude, see, that, I don't know, man.
Don't try to protect me from myself right now.
No, I'm not.
I'm saying all this stuff lightheartedly. Like, the only reason that I'm not is because I haven't put that time in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's all it is. I get
better and better every day. Like, I do. I'm getting a little bit more confident with the. Some lead stuff there with the full band for a while. I was doing a couple of lead stuff on like a few Waylon songs and stuff that I can get away with, like those right up there near the open stuff, hammer on kind of deals, and working like 2-finger kind of to the would that be? String 5 and 4 of like your bar chords.
Yeah.
Just those little two note.
Like licks.
Pairs, yeah. And yeah. Do slides, little, like Spanish.
I do a lot of that. That's a big part of my like.
You've got serious guitar chops. So you're like, as far as the licks that you do, you have great timing, like technique. Like they sound. Well, they sound like you practice.
Well, I appreciate that, but I don't know. I like those, and a lot of the leads that I do are from a place of volume, just because I'll do those big strum, like the slides, like you're talking about on the B and the E, and those like those two string like walk up things, just because before me and Adam started using pedals, boost pedals. Like, it would just be like, okay, well, I'm here playing lead, but nobody can hear it, so what's the point, you know? Yeah. And but instead of that, I would have to play up there, because those are the strings that are audibly louder than everything else going on.
Right.
But then doing that, it's just pushed like, oh, well, you're getting louder. I guess I'll get louder, too. And then it gets so much louder, and then everything's just, like, building up. Like, yes, okay. Let's go ahead and end this song. All right, right here. Yeah. Cool.
Let's warm me a little bit of cornbread.
Let's bring that on. Huh? Oh, I need a little cornbread, you motherfuckers. I need a little cornbread. I'm going to get some too, Anna. Dude.
Great.
Sam Rockwell.
You guys, that was a gold mine of like merch stuff.
The
stuff. I got the sticker on my guitar case of the big guy in life.
Michael Clark Duncan. Oh, no, that was. Yeah, the other guy, you won't eat your cornbread.
Yeah. What a great movie that was.
God, man. That's one of my dad's favorite movies.
I have seen that movie so many times.
I got my toe stuck in a bottle.
There's so many great lines in that movie.
I stole something like, not stole it, but I've been saying a lot lately, boy, you over there grinning like you just stole a pie off a windowsill.
Power too hot.
I burned my damn tongue.
You die first. I was playing at your funeral.
Yeah, that shit. What a great movie, man.
The upper room.
The upper room.
When Jesus. You die first, I'm gonna sing at your funeral. Bust up in the motherfucker. The upper room. Let him shoot me.
Come on.
Well, you go to bed.
So you mean to tell me this ain't Claude and Ray? God, it's so good, man. I wish that I had enough.
Yeah, that was like Marky D or something, wasn't it?
I can't remember, but he
not Marky D. It was
he had a role in Dear White People. Did you watch Dear White People on Netflix? It's pretty good. He's the dean of he's the dean of the college in Dear White People. It's a pretty good show.
Damn it. I know he was like,
I'll tell you.
One of those 90s rap acts. Hip hop.
Oh, you mean the guy in the wheelchair who was telling the story?
Mm-mm.
Or which one?
The big dude that was, I think both of them were rappers. The two inmates.
Oh, I'm typing IMDb.com in the search engine of IMDb. I'm already there. I don't know what's wrong with me.
You just want to make sure that they know you mean business.
Yeah. Like, listen, I'm here to do something important.
Man, I'm really going to enjoy re-listening to this conversation.
I re-listened to most of just about all of them.
I'm making this nice and entertaining for myself.
That's later. Good, man. No, I listen to just about all of them because I'll say things that I'll forget about. And like I'll say things like, oh, well, I should write that down, or I should
journal.
Yeah, I should do that, or I should write that down. But I've got it recorded.
Yeah.
So writing it down is just, it's not necessary. But, I'll listen to a lot of them just to, I don't know, make sure I didn't like say anything that sounded a certain way, and then I'll end up texting whoever. I'll say, hey, man, I didn't mean this like I said it. I was just re-listening, and it sounds like I said something different than, you know, what I meant. And I don't know. I do that a lot. I'll know exactly what I mean and what I'm trying to say, but I'm not good at articulating it a lot of the time.
Well, that's cool that you have that to fall back on, because I know I personally, like, I'll think about something I said to somebody. I'm like, I hope I didn't sound like an asshole. Like,
yeah.
I hope they don't think I'm a fucking asshole. Like, or like, I hope they understood what I meant. Or like,
yeah.
I worry about that kind of shit. Like, she fucking does too. But, yeah, so I mean, that's a positive thing.
I think so. And I don't worry so much about people thinking that I'm an asshole, because I pretty much am an asshole. I don't really mind people knowing that. I just don't want to be the wrong asshole. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the person who, like, I don't mind being the asshole that I am, but I don't want for people to be like, oh, that was sort of a,
yeah, everybody wants to be justified. Yeah.
What up, Buzz? That's right, Greens. Man, I put that talking about my great-grandmother's collards last night on that podcast with Will.
Yeah.
Got me thinking about my great-grandma, and I was just like, I remember walking out of the house and just the smell of, my grandma lived in a trailer behind our house. And I'd walk out of the side door of the house, and just the smell of my grandma cooking collards, specifically collards, just across the yard. And like, it would literally, just a few minutes later, people would just start showing up at my grandma's house back behind our house.
She cooked them in fat.
Dude, from what I can gather, she cooked them in fatback grease.
That a girl.
And yeah, from what I can gather, she cooked them in fatback grease or bacon grease.
Yeah.
One or the other. Yeah, but yeah.
My aunt Sarah makes awesome collard greens.
Yeah, my sister Sarah is actually the one who's got the recipe for it. She's the one that took, you know, there's always one girl in the family who just takes the reins, like takes the baton from the cooks. My sister Sarah is that sister in the family.
I'm that sister in my family.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's good, man.
I love cooking. I
love to cook. I hate to clean. My dishwasher don't work.
I got a chicken stew on now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
That sounds exciting.
Man, it's that time of year. You got to get that soup, heavy gravies and such. I love it.
Yeah, I got my crock pot over there. It's ready to, that's what I'm ready doing. To gear up.
I do the prerequisite searing of the meat, and I kind of cook the vegetables down a little bit before I put them in there, but...
That's good.
Yeah. Just throw some potatoes in.
That extra step does so much.
Yeah, it adds flavor.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it will.
I can dig it. Usually what I end up making, I don't like it. I'll make something that looks, that on paper is like something that I'm really going to enjoy eating, and then... By the time I'm done cooking it, usually, for some reason, like, I don't have a desire to eat it. It's a weird thing. Like, when I worked in I used to work in a kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of times. And I could work in a kitchen for 8 hours and not eat the whole time.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, when I'm cooking, for some reason, I usually don't get... I'm usually not hungry by the time I'm done cooking, and I don't know why, unless I'm cooking specifically to feed myself.
Yeah.
You know, if like with something like this or soup, usually anything I cook in a pot that's going to be more than one we're going to eat for a couple of days or whatever. Yeah, I won't eat it the first night. I kind of like look forward to eating it the next day after it's sat in the fridge.
It's the flavors marry better after it sits in the
cereal.
Yeah, the flavors marry better after it's sat in the fridge. Just like the sweet tea, it's better after it's been in the fridge overnight.
Let it get cold. Don't put hot tea on the cold ice.
Oh, but I love that. Ain't nothing like that.
The cold on the top and the hot on the bottom.
Yeah. Yep. You know what I
that
think?
That always feels weird in my hand.
You know what? I think that it's just
milk with ice in it.
Yeah, and I never did that.
That's weird because then it just gets more watered down.
Yeah. See, I think that's more just a memory thing, like to where I just remember when I taste that warm tea over the cold ice. Like, it just takes me back to my home. It takes me back to where my grandma was just getting done with that. And it's like more of a nostalgia thing than anything else. I don't mind it.
You ever done sun tea?
Sun tea? Oh, yeah, yeah. Where they put the bags out on the outside and leave it.
Yeah, they just let it soak in the sun.
Yeah.
I don't like that as much as, like, boiling water.
You know, man, like, I had a friend one time that made a comment about,
I want it dark
tea. You know, I'll make my sandwich, man, and I'll take it and I'll sit it up on the dashboard of the truck. Did you tell me that, by the way? Was it you that was telling me a story about you knew somebody that did that? Where they would take their sandwich out and just leave it on the dashboard of the truck. Yeah, man, by the time lunch comes around, that thing will be hot enough to eat. And I was like, man, I don't know if that's exactly how it works.
I don't know.
I don't know why I kind of...
I've used, like, the foot heater, the defrost with the heater. I'll throw some food in the floorboard next to me. Turn that foot heater all the way up. Yeah. It usually doesn't do anything. Like, you're just blowing it onto a bag that's got a carton inside of it.
Yeah.
Sandwich inside of it. I don't know.
I don't know. Those cartons do pretty good, though. They'll hold heat well.
I've eaten food that was warmed up in, like, a truck engine.
Yeah, and I've heard. I was just about to say that. Well, you just like wrap it in aluminum foil and just.
No, man. You just, like, take a can of pork and beans and sit it on a block. Warm it up.
Well, my father was an exhaust manifold, and my mother was a tree.
Tom Waits, God, the Joker. Joker 2.
You really, dude, you remember the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus? Mm-mm. Tom Waits played the devil in that movie. The best depiction of the devil I've seen outside. Well, even better than, but Constantine, whoever played Devil in Constantine was really good.
I think that was Ralph Fiennes, wasn't it? No.
Nah, but close. It looks a lot like him.
Ralph Fiennes was what, Voldemort?
Yeah, he's very good.
He was in Grand Budapest, and he was fucking amazing in that movie.
He was also the monster in the Tooth Fairy, yeah. And Red Dragon, that's right. I have... The great red dragon and the woman clothed in the sun hanging on the hallway wall next to on the other side of the bathroom.
Oh.
The great red dragon and the woman clothed in sun. William Blake. But he was good. There's this article that's been going around, and you might have seen it on Facebook, about how Constantine was a much better movie than we gave it credit for.
Like, and I was Nicolas Cage as Constantine?
Keanu Reeves,
sorry. But yes. Yeah.
Well, I was kinda, like, I've always liked that movie. I thought it was great. A
huge comeback.
Yeah, man, he's killing
Maybe
it.
Maybe I just
John
wasn't
Wick
paying
movies.
Attention for a while. But, like, do you see 47 Ronin?
Mm-mm.
That was pretty wild, man. That's got some really good, like, CGI.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
It's about samurais, too. It's about...
Oh, man.
Pre-feudal Japan.
And he does all of his own shit too. So he he goes and studies, like,
yeah, dude, he's straight up a boss on the range.
Dude, that same range that Bert and Joe are going, or Tom and Joe have been going to. Have you seen those videos where they're going
to John Wick?
Yeah, they're learning after John Wick.
Really?
The Joe Rogan.
They
because this
how to
year
do that John Wick stuff.
Yeah, they are. They really are. They seriously are, like, reloading and shit like that. Like, they're putting their videos on Instagram. Jeez. And that's part of their Sober October this year, is that instead of doing, like, a weight loss challenge or anything like that, they're doing little fun little things together. And
I felt so bad watching that. I watched the one that just had Ari on it that happened, like, right before the Sober October
thing. Yeah.
So I had all that, and I was like, oh, yeah, man. Fucking love Ari.
And then
I'm not a Bert fan though.
I like Bert.
I was like kind of empathizing with Ari, and I was like, wait a second. Yeah. No. Nah, sorry.
But like, yeah, the only thing is Bert has teenage age daughters in the house. And, like, Ari should have known better. Listen, but he's in a different situation.
Like Louis C.K. Of course. But maybe. Like, of course he shouldn't do that.
But he is Ari. It's sort of like.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird, man, because I'm like, well, yeah, you really shouldn't fucking do that.
Yeah. Like, everybody's really upset with him about it. Just the fact that he didn't apologize.
Yeah, well, that.
For those not aware.
He went along with it like I expected him to. Like, he was very Ari about it.
Yeah. For those not aware.
I feel like he was remorseful, though.
I think he was. He just doesn't know how to say that.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. Like, that was kind of a bomb.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
So, Joe Rogan, Burt Kreischer, Tom Segura, and Ari Shaffir every year do the Sober October thing. This year, Ari, because he is into baseball, he lives in New York, October is like postseason baseball, he wants to be able to drink and not be sober during October. So he feels like they started this thing to help Bert get sober because Bert had a problem. So in doing this, they realized that it's basically just to get Bert sober. So Ari, in thinking, I don't want to have to go through this because I'm not the one that has a problem. Bert has the problem. So if you are going to make me go sober for a month, then I am going to get you back. And they did a Bert cast, which is Bert Kreischer's podcast. They did an episode of that. And about halfway through, Ari starts like rubbing his legs and like touching himself and stuff like that. Not like in a weird way, but just like literally touching himself. And he's like, dude, are you on Molly? And Ari goes, why are you on Molly? And apparently Ari poured a shot and dosed it with Molly and dosed Bert with Molly before they started the podcast. So now there's a huge deal between them. Bert's not speaking to him. Leanne Kreischer, Bert's wife, says he's not allowed at their house anymore. And it's a huge deal about Ari literally drugged Bert's drink, and it's getting to the point to where they're like, well, what if it were, you know, like, this is no different than you drugging like a woman's drink or something like that and taking advantage. And Ari's argument is, no, it's not. It's not like that. And maybe I didn't take into consideration all of the, you know, all of the negative parts of this, but he's not apologizing about it. And that's what's upsetting everybody. So that's basically what we're talking about, to catch you guys up on this thing that we're talking about. But
no such thing as bad publicity.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. And to be perfectly honest, the only episode of Ari's podcast I've ever listened to was the episode right after that that came out, literally the day after that dropped. It was with Brian Redband, where Ari Shaffir talking to Redband about the beginning of podcasts and like how everything started. Because Redband was there for the beginning of everything. Like when it was, before it was Joe Rogan Experience, it was just Joe and Redband doing episodes together, by all means. You might have to cut it on. But just hearing him talk about like Corolla and all of that Opie and Anthony stuff back in the day, like all of the early episodes of what would eventually become podcasts. One of my favorite episodes ever. And I started sharing it. And when I shared it, somebody commented on it and was like, I don't think I'm going to be watching Ari's podcast anymore because of what he did to Bert. And I was like, listen, I'm of the same church. I'm not, this is the only episode I watch just because I fucking love Redman. I mean, most of the stuff I got sitting around, I got Death Squad pins all over the place and stickers and whatnot on the computers. I love Redband. So I wanted to watch that episode. But Ari's just Ari. He just seems like, it's like, well, you guys knew what you were getting into. You know who I am.
Yeah, he's pretty outrageous.
Yeah. Those New York guys don't give a shit. It's different. Those LA comics are different than New York comics. But what can you do?
I don't know. I've always been a really, really big fan of comedy.
Me too. We've talked about this before. We talked about like Dave Attell and stuff and like Insomnia.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah. Dave Attell is probably my hero. I mean, I'm a huge George Carlin fan, and I've done a lot of reading of his like brain droppings and what is it?
I don't know any of the books.
Oh man, I think he's got one called.
He wrote a book a year though, pretty much, didn't he? Like,
I don't know.
I know he released a special a year.
He did a bunch for HBO. But I did a bunch of reading of his, and these books are basically just like you're reading his stand up. It's like, but it's a lot of it. Like he said so much, not all like a lot of really random stuff. But I don't know, it was funny when I needed to be reading some funny stuff.
Yeah,
and I kind of growing up, my dad worked for the cable company. So we always had like HBO and Cinemax and Skinemax.
Oh man, that Showtime After Dark.
And
so you had those channels not blurry?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, Pops worked for the cable company, man.
Oh man.
Engineer. And
I had them blurry.
So I got to watch like all the Carlin specials and the comedy half hours and man, I don't know. I'm a huge fan of stand-up comedy.
I love stand-up. I actually want to try it. I want to do it, man. But the only reason I want to do it is because I heard this episode of Rogan where he was talking to somebody about, there was like, they had this really, really awful childhood and just had a rough life and everything, and just, he said, well, maybe you haven't had this rough life. Maybe you're just a comic. Like, maybe you're just a comic and you haven't realized
it. I remember him saying that.
I don't know who it was he was saying it to, but I just remember him saying that, and I was like,
was it the guy that was on there with Sturgill, the wounded warrior?
Might have been. Well, no, this was I watched that episode, but
no,
this
happened. No, he was talking to Patrick Carney when he said that.
Was it?
Yeah. It's like, maybe you're just a comic. No?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you're just a comic. Like, he was like, you know, maybe all this bad shit that happened, maybe you're just a comic.
Right.
Maybe you didn't realize that all the stuff that had been leading you to that. And I was like, oh shit. So when I heard him say that, I was like, well, you know, I have always loved comedy. I've always loved stand up comedy, and comedians in cars getting coffee is like one of my favorite things in the world.
Stuff, yeah. Seinfeld.
And I love everything about that. Like, that actually makes sense. And then shortly after that, I started watching Kill Tony, and Kill Tony is basically just established comedians giving like new comedians pointers and tips on their act and telling them what to do and what not to do. And just watching that entire catalog has just improved my in-between song chatter immensely.
Yeah,
just from hearing what people like to hear and just watching Process of Elimination, see, you know.
I absorbed all that Carlin and Patrice O'Neill stuff, so I don't. I don't do. Actually, I used to be able to talk a pretty good game on the mic, and then I don't know. I think I really tried to get serious, and like, I really do want to be a better guitar player and a better singer at all times. and I'm never satisfied with what I'm doing, but. I think for a while it was kind of like really weird because, like I said, I went to one open mic night while I was living up outside of Pittsburgh at this place called the All American Bar and Grill. And the guy who did it ended up becoming a pretty good friend of mine, Bill Ankeny. And he could sing I've Been Everywhere by Johnny Cash, like every word.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not gonna get up there and play. And he's like, hey man, you gonna play? And I was like, well, if you're going to put me on the spot. That's kind of a weird thing about me. If I'm put on the spot, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Instead of like, when I feel like, no.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay. It's kind of like this, like this programmed, just fucking do it. Just do it. Just do it, man. I don't know.
Just do it. Swish.
Yeah. That's one thing I used to like. If I'd see musician friends, I'd be like, get on up here and sing one with us.
Yeah.
And make a big deal. You know, like I would do the crowd stuff. And I kind of fell out of doing that because I was just so focused on trying to perform. Like, I went from one extreme to the other. Like, didn't really care, beat on the guitar and sang beer drinking songs and,
yeah,
you know, have a good old Conway time.
Right.
And then I, once I met, I remember I met you, the first time I ever met you, it was at Neil and Pam's. And you were playing, it was Cornbread. But you were playing a mandolin, and before I left to go to Pittsburgh, I used to like kind of follow Adam around.
Yeah.
Him and Zach had a band called Free Beer.
Yeah.
We'll do it. And they played up there at the Mockingbird.
And the Mushroom, yep.
And I'd fucking go up there to Tequila Mockingbird and bug the shit out of them, like request songs. And I had this little cheap ass Ibanez A type mandolin.
Yeah.
With the single coil in it.
Yeah.
But it, like, at this point, the cutout for the pickup is now like causing the top to buckle. But I plug her in and we do Flogging Molly's Drunken Lullabies.
Oh yeah.
That was like my— Adam was always— he's so gracious. Like, I knew
Adam was, really, like, always looking back, had I been know so good. I'm about
such a pain in the ass. Like, but I don't know. I humbled out once I got up to Pittsburgh because I stopped doing it. I got a real job and trying to get my life together, boy.
Yeah. Me and Will were talking about that a lot last night, about like getting to the point of being humbled, you know, like in life. Like, just—
I'm such a douche.
For me, well, dude, I really was. Like, and I think I look back and think about how I used to look at myself and how I used to view myself. And like, you know, sometimes you'll get to flying too high and you just need somebody to grab you and snatch you back down. And I had that. Like, I would just consistently, like, I would consistently be just thinking more of myself than I should have at that time in my musicianship.
I can dig
it. And it's very easy because— and you're probably the same way if you've thought of yourself like that before. It's very easy to notice when someone else looks at themselves like you used to look at yourself, and you can say, one day it'll happen. One day it'll happen, and it's just going to suck all the air out of the room when it happens, and it's going to suck, but it'll be the best thing that could happen to you. And I thought about this last night in the podcast, and I didn't say it, but like, I've learned so much more from my fuck-ups than I have the things that I've done, you know, the things that have just happened for me. Like, I've learned so much more from the fuck-ups than I have from, like, anything else.
I can dig it, man. I spend so much time— I don't want to say worrying about it, but, like, I really kind of kicked my own ass. It seems pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really notice other people that way, just because, I don't know, within the last, I don't know, pretty recent past, it's gotten to the point where I don't interact with anybody, hardly any, ever.
Yeah.
And I think that's I don't know, I feel like it kind of manifests itself especially at gigs, like,
because
I'm over focused on my guitar playing and I'm over focused on the song that I get kind of, I don't know, there was a change that happened once I met all you guys, like you and Jeremy and Corinne and Sean and Charles and like I just walked into Clockers one night. It's probably the third time I was ever in there, and I had just gone in, and I would play in Conway, and I was living in Surfside basically at the time. And I'd play a gig in Conway and come hang out at Clockers like on the way home. And the third time I was in there, Chris Pearson was in there doing like a open jam thing. He was playing, but drinking scotch. Like,
that's code for hosting an open mic.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to get hammered and paid, and y'all are going to play my gig.
I think...
I used to do it.
Oh, man. I'm having a hard time remembering. He was... Man, I'm really trying to remember his name. John Owens Journal and...
At Clockers?
No, he played with Corinne and Jeremy, who's a singer, guitar player.
Yeah. Stevie? Steven?
No.
Diaz?
No. He played with him. He was a singer, though.
Josh Roberts.
Yes.
Yep. Right. Josh. I know you're talking about tall, dark hair, beard. Yeah, I know you're. I might have said the wrong name, but.
He went up and played a song, and so I walked up to Chris and I was like, "Yeah, do you mind if I like do one? I got a song like I just want to play.
I play a little guitar."
And he was like, "Cool, man! Like, go up there when he's done." So I did, and I played "Empty" by Ray LaMontagne.
Oh man!
And everybody was like staring at me, and so Clocker was like, "You want to play here like every Monday?" And I did, basically, over the span of, like, 2 years I played.
I remember that. I remember when that happened.
An insane amount in Clockers. Like, he gave me all the stage time I wanted.
I remember you being there just about every time I went.
And it was, it'd get kind of rowdy sometimes.
I was definitely still on the bottle back then.
Yeah, you used to come play at Remedies.
Yep.
And I borrowed a string from you one time.
Yeah. You can keep it.
G-string, man. I done broke that one. That's a long broke.
Nah, man. I remember that because you... I don't know why I'm thinking about this, but you had this... You might still have it. This tambourine on the thing with the Texas flag
foot
on it.
Shaker, yeah.
Or yeah, the foot pedal.
Drum kick pedal, yeah. Yeah, Jeremy Dunham gave me that. He gave me the kick drum pedal.
Yeah.
And then I bought that. That's just like an LP.
Teardrop. Yeah,
it's just like a drum accessory kit that you put on the end of it.
Man, those were the days.
It was so loud, though. Like,
yeah, he had that big boathouse system, right? Didn't he get the old system from the boathouse or something?
I don't know. They were big JBL, like double 15s, and he had like double 18 subs on either side, and that nice PreSonus board.
Yeah.
But the that tambourine was so loud. Like, I'd get to stomping on that thing, and I think Corinne told me one time she was over at like Wicked Tuna or whatever, and heard me kicking that tambourine from Creek Rats. It's
like, so that's what we get that a lot. We get that a lot from
because Jeremy used to rap. He used one, and I was like, "What the fuck is that?" And he was like, "Yeah, I'll show you how to do this."
Yeah. They got the ones now, little tiny ones with like the two that go on your foot with like just the two.
That's what I use now, just a foot shaker that straps to my foot.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not so
enough.
Abrasive.
It's just, it gives just me enough.
Something to keep tempo, you know, a little add something. Like, I'm trying to do everything I can. I want to make the biggest noise I can. Like, you know, I want it to be a full sound. Like, when I don't have that foot shaker going, I'm a mess. Because it's like I feel like
that's
I can't
your
keep
tempo.
Time now.
Yeah. That's your metronome.
Yeah, it helps it become like a full body thing.
And oh,
so
yeah.
It's like it makes you more like into it. And so you kind of I feel like if you're totally into what you're doing, then it's on the time it's supposed to be.
You'll give them a better show. That's the thing. Like, I feel like that's the thing. Like, if you play how it feels and play with your feelings.
Especially if you're doing a solo gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Dude, right. Solo gigs, that's I love solo gigs. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I enjoy playing with Cornbread. I absolutely love my time with Chip and Daryl. But my solo gigs, no rules. I'll get on stage and be like, any of y'all ever walk into Walmart and realize the self-checkout's closed and just walk out? And then everybody in the room just kind of like starts laughing. Like, it's just me. I'm sorry. Are any of y'all ever eat a bunch of edibles and get on stage at a brass tap and try to play a gig? Just me? Okay, cool. And then I'll end up talking to them about whatever's on TV. And we'll have a 5-minute conversation before I play the first song. And I always do that now. The solo gigs are just so much fun. And plus, now that I've actually found that little... Because I've always been so weird about playing originals.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And now that I've found that little niche of like, okay, so I can do these and people will actually appreciate it.
Dude, I kicked my ass about somebody else's song. My own shit.
Right.
Brutal.
Right.
I hate it.
But here's the thing, I know in my mind, like, however I played this song is how it's supposed to be because it's mine.
Right.
So I have that going, but it's really hard to, like, I don't know how Craig Kiefer or Rossler or people like that who do, like, predominantly original shows all the time do that. Like, it's like you're going out there. It's easy to go out there and play other people's songs well. If you're good at what you do, it's easy to go out there and do other people's songs well because they've already troubleshot everything else that the song didn't need, right. And they've given you this.
You don't like that? I didn't write it.
Yeah, right. You didn't like that song? Yeah. Well, that was a. I mean, I'm not a big fan either. Yeah, you know what, man? That was not their better songs, but. I don't know, now that I've gotten comfortable with playing my originals, I don't, the solos are a little bit easier now that I can say, okay, well, here's a song that I wrote.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't have, and I write, a lot of my originals have like a weird time stamp, mm-hmm. in a way, and in a lot of our stuff like that we do with Cornbread, it's, you know, 4-4 or nothing pretty much. And that's just where we are. But like, it's really cool where I get the freedom to do those weird timestamp tunes that I would have to, because we don't practice or nothing. We could, but we're gonna be playing, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Let's just we're past the point of practicing now as a band, I think. We're just, it's not. I don't think it's worth it. But it's nice to be able to do the kind of stuff that you don't have to keep up with explaining to somebody else what's about to happen. If they've got a song that's already been released and it's easy to, you've heard the song, you know what it's supposed to sound like, let's just do that. But if it's your own, and plus if you want to say, hey, do this instead of that, then it's almost like, you know, you tell me what to do, and I'm like, well, yeah, kind of, but not exactly. But then you have that sort of, okay, well, let's just play this Sublime song again then. So anyway, we've skated on past that hour and 45 minute mark to about the hour and 58 minutes. We're about to be at 2 hours, Brother Cam.
Cool.
That was good talk. Anything you want to let the good listeners know where to find you coming up here soon, or the great and powerful Perlino, you and Gentry both. And obviously you can find, I think it's at Perlino Band on Instagram. Is that right?
Correct.
At Perlino Band.
And www.perlinoband.com.
Yeah.
It's got our schedule on it. Yeah, tomorrow we got Encore in Conway Encore Florals, Wines, and Gifts in Conway. That'll be 5:30 to 8:30, I think. I'm not sure.
That's a butter gig on a Friday, man. I like that.
We're getting some, I think we're going to get some pictures taken and do a little interview also.
Not nice.
Yeah, we got a young lady who's doing, what is it, her senior thesis? Mm-hmm. And I guess that has something to do with us. So
that's pretty awesome.
I dress up pretty. And then, let's see here. Saturday, if you got any upstate listeners, we'll be in Gaffney, South Carolina.
The home of Daryl High. Shout out
to Daryl High.
The home of Daryl High.
We will be in Gaffney at Red's Watering Hole. And that'll be, what, 9 to 1?
Yeah, those hours. Yep. Those hours.
Yeah, way out there. But we love it there, man. They're real good to us. And Sunday, Gentry has her first solo gig in a long time.
Oh, what?
Playing at the Marsh View.
Nice.
Yep, and that will be from 5 to 8. You guys come check her out. She's doing it solo.
Hell yeah.
That's all I got for this weekend.
Well,
we're in Columbia next weekend. Yeah.
All sorts of opportunities to see Perlino live and the guys individually.
Check out the sketch.
PerlinoBand.com. All right. So, yeah.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it.
This is such a cool thing.
It's so much fun, man. I wish more people did this on their own. You guys should do this when you're on the road, man. Just like, I know I've said this before. Just set a phone up and just record and publish it. People would enjoy listening to that, man.
Vocalizing my thoughts.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just, it helps me so much. Like I said earlier, where I'll listen through things and I'll be like, oh man, well, I didn't mean.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like it's good for that, but it's really good for if you have something that is bothering you. It's literally good to just get it out, to verbalize it. Yeah. And I don't know. I do it all the time. I talk to myself, and I've always done this, so I'm really glad that Bluetooth has come out over the last few years, because now I don't look like a crazy person anymore talking by myself in the car. Because I do that all the time, and I always have, talking to myself all the time when I'm driving, like audibly.
Right on.
I've always done that. And yeah, just having cell phones up there on the, like, clipped on the thing. I used to clip a cell phone up there, so, you know, you feel a little bit better about doing it. But I don't care anymore. Just like, say, if something's in you that's trash, you got to take it out. Take it out or start to stink.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. So please go to PerlinoBand.com. Check out all the cool stuff Perlino's got going on coming up in the future. Please go to MIStuffPodcast.com. Go to YouTube. Subscribe to Kelsey Hudgens. Please subscribe to MI Stuff Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. Where else? iHeartRadio, CastBox, anywhere podcasts are available. Please subscribe to MI Stuff Podcast. We are scooting up to the 200th episode of this podcast, and that is just unreal for me to say. But I'm very, very grateful for you guys to have been allowing me to do this for as long as I have. So thank y'all for listening. Please go follow at Perlino Band on Instagram. And do you guys want to give your personal Instagram, or is it just the Perlinos?
I think I'm the only one of the two of us that actually even has a personal Instagram, and I don't use it.
Okay, yeah, so at Perlino Band.
At Perlino Band, yeah.
Cameron Nesbitt and Gentry Rose on the Facebook, if you guys want to keep up with, or Perlino as well, if you guys want to keep up with all the cool stuff going on in the world of these beautiful people whom I love. Also, at Yonder Wizard on Instagram, WIZZERD, at Kelsey Hudgens on Twitter and Facebook, at MI Stuff Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you want to follow the podcast, I rarely ever use that account, but if you want to, it's there. Please do that. Please leave reviews on the iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you guys, it's not necessary, but if you guys do want to help out a little bit financially, there's a tip jar at the top of the page on MI Stuff Podcast, or Venmo at Kelsey-Hudgens-1, the number one. And like I said, not necessary, but certainly appreciated. This hobby of mine does cost a little bit of dollars, but and I don't mind paying it. This is like the 50 or so dollars I pay a month to upload all this stuff is cheaper than the therapist that I inevitably need that I'm not using. So there's that. Anyway, I think that's all I got for you. So in a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. It's not that hard. Peace, bitches.